Listeners are used to hearing our CEO, Matt Stringer, on the Daily Connect and the Afternoon Edition, usually for his review of the week and his annual review. However, you might not know that he is also an avid reader, and I wanted to hear his review of 2021 in books. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hi, Red. Thank you for having me on.
It's been a brilliant year for books, both in terms of publishing and gaining even more books into the RNIB library through so many great agreements with top publishers.
Yeah, it's one of our key services. We're very proud of it. You know, we add titles all the time, as you know, Red, and you're very good at, you know, updating the listeners on this regularly, I know. And it's been, you know, a critical lifeline for many people through COVID, you know, clearly not just in 2021, which we're talking about, but also in 2020. So for sort of the better part of 21 months, you know, our reading services in the round have been, I think, a vital link for blind and partially sighted people, a real comfort, actually, and a source of education, entertainment, information, all those sorts of things. So, no, we're very proud of the service, and you know, I'm delighted it's going from strength to strength.
Indeed, it's a great way for those of us who might find it difficult to get outdoors to step outside of those four walls, especially during isolation.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think I know the benefit I get curling up with a good book. And as I say, I think, you know, as we've all had a bit more time at home recently, you know, with lockdown sort of undulating this year, you know, a bit more freedom in the second half of the year, but certainly times when we've had to be a bit more prudent and stay at home, you know, having access to, you know, our extensive library increasingly through more media as well, through different channels, you know, has been, I think, a real boon for many people.
So what has been on your bedside table this year?
Well, I mean, I think I might have said to you last year, I'm, you know, academically, I studied history at university, so a long time ago now, but I've always sort of kept my hand in on sort of history, politics, current affairs. So as I was scribbling down a few things to talk to you about, I was rather obviously betraying my academic background in what I've been reading this year. But let me maybe pick out maybe the first book to talk to you about. I'm just reading it at the moment, actually. I've almost finished it. I've only got about 50 pages to go, so I shall get it done this week before Christmas. But it's an excellent book called The Anglo-Saxons by a historian called Mark Morris. And I think, you know, all of us probably think of the, you know, the time post-Roman Empire and before the Norman conquest as being a sort of, you know, the Dark Ages, when actually it was a sort of fantastic period in English history, fascinating period, as you marvel at quite how quickly the sort of Roman Empire crumbled in the space of a few decades, actually. So from being a very, very sort of sophisticated society with all the things we know, Roman roads and sanitation and stone buildings and, you know, militarized, you know, it suddenly fell into disrepair quite quickly. And you had, you know, various waves of tribes from Scandinavia and Northern Europe, you know, the Angles and the Saxons and the Jutes and ultimately the Vikings a bit later invading. And this book is really from about 430 through to the Norman conquest, you know, 1066, and sort of talks through that period, which we think of as one period. But as I've just said, it's sort of 600 years of history. So phenomenal passage of sort of British history, you know, with lots of fragmented nations, you know, the onset of Christianity, you know, the continued threat from sort of raiders from coming over the North Sea, but increasingly a really sophisticated society emerging in England, built out of some of the ancient kingdoms of sort of Wessex and Mercia and Northumbria, you know, with a strong religious tradition, the places like Lindisfarne and the rise of London, actually, as a capital city, as a post-Roman trading post, actually. So, you know, fascinating book. I've really enjoyed it, actually. So that's the sort of current tome sitting by my bedside. The Anglo-Saxons, and it's by a historian called Mark Morris.
And have you read any good fiction this year?
I think I sneaked this in at the start of the year, so I shall say this. I was just racking my brains, actually. I've been guilty during the second half of this year of reading more, you know, history books, really. But I'm always keen to read the next Robert Harris when it comes out. So I've got my eye on his next one, which is out in September 2022, which I think is about events immediately after, well, in sort of 1660s, as they were trying to track down the people who had sort of signed the death warrant for Charles the First. So it's set in the reign of Charles the Second after the Restoration. So that is his next one, which is out next year. But this year, I think I read at the start of the year V2, which is a Robert Harris novel about the V2 threat, the sort of rockets that were fired at England in late 1944 and early 1945, which the Allies were desperately trying to pin down his mobile launch sites in Holland. And this book is about this sort of ultimate intertwining of the lives of the sort of Luftwaffe team based at on the beach at a resort in Holland, trying to avoid being detected, and an RAF signals group who went over to Belgium post D-Day, clearly when Belgium was occupied by the Allies in the winter of 1944, were trying to pin down exactly where these sort of rockets were and trying to make sure they were destroyed before they could sort of wreak their havoc on London. And ultimately the characters of the German side and the RAF side sort of get together because they're not too far away in sort of Belgium Holland area. So Robert Harris's book V2, which I can recommend you.
Well, I know that Alan Russell is a huge Robert Harris fan too, so I'm surprised you ever managed to have a chat about what's been going on during the week.
Well, we do. I mean, Alan and I tend to speak a lot. We have the weekly interview, but there's probably as much entertainment in the off-air conversations as we offer each other sort of book reading tips, actually. So, yes, we've both been reading Robert Harris. Someone I put Alan onto, actually, I think you might have read a few. He's an author who writes sort of historical fiction, largely with the same character. He was a sort of American Cambridge Don in the 1930s and then into the Second World War. And the author's called Rory Clements, and he's written about four or five books with this American professor at Cambridge being the sort of hero who gets wrapped up in sort of British espionage and goes out and foils various German plots. So I think he's got another one coming out next year. So if you like Robert Harris, then go and read Rory Clements.
Well, that's a great recommendation, and a new one on me. So, there you go. More books for me to download. And are there any titles that you've been giving as gifts to friends or family?
Oh, that's a really good question. I mean, this year for Christmas, I bought one of my nephews a few books, including old favourites like Fever Pitch by Nick Hornby, which I remember reading, thinking it was absolutely fantastic about 20 years ago. The other thing I bought him, actually, again, because my other passion is sports, is a great book which was shortlisted for the William Hill Sports Book of the Year, probably in about 2008 or something. But it's called Feet in the Clouds, and it is about fell running. And this is about a Guardian journalist who is a bit of an amateur fell runner. And this book is really around the history of sort of fell running, largely centered on the Lake District, but not exclusively, and about his own sort of rather amateur attempts at it. But he basically wants to do this famous event, which is called the Bob Graham Round, which is when you run all the highest 42 peaks of the Lake District and you achieve it in 24 hours, setting off and ending at Keswick. And he tries it and fails. And then at the end, he tries it and succeeds, without trying to spoil the book. But it's a great book, Feet in the Clouds. Richard Asquith, that's his name, Red. There you go, Richard Asquith.
Gosh, that sounds like quite a challenge. So will you be finding a bit of time over Christmas and the New Year to curl up in your favourite armchair and read some books that hopefully Santa will deliver to you?
Yes, I hope so. A few people coming over Christmas and a few other commitments. But yes, I'm sure we'll find the odd time to curl up in front of the fire. I think something I might have mentioned to you before in this programme, Red, because it takes a bit of time to plough through, but I've been reading through series of sort of British social history by an author called Dominic Sambrook, who's quite well known, does a famous podcast called The Rest is History with Tom Holland. And he's written a set of sort of books on British social history, really from the sort of 50s and 60s through the 70s. And his most recent one was the first 3 years of Margaret Thatcher's sort of prime ministership. And so I've sort of rather silly and stupidly been reading them in sort of reverse order a little bit, but I've got into the 1970s. There are two books I've read this year, his sort of 1970 to 74 book, and then 74 to 79, which I finished about a month ago, called Seasons in the Sun. And I think for Christmas, someone is due to get me the book that is the 1950s. He's done one for the 1950s and one for the 1960s. I have the 1960 one, but I don't have the 1950s one. So I think someone's getting me that for Christmas, and I will read those in the right order, 1950s before the 1960s. So, yes, you're likely to find me curled up with a Dominic Sandbrook over Christmas.
Well, I hope Santa delivers. I wish you a very happy Christmas and a restful new year, and I'll look forward to chatting to you again in 2022.
Red, thanks very much. My pleasure as ever. It's always enjoyable to come on and talk to you about books because it's a real passion of mine. So thank you for indulging me.